Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the South Bay Show, Redondo Beach, More to See, on October 21st, 2015. Live, love, laugh, and leave a legacy. That's what we do here in the South Bay of Los Angeles, and it's a beautiful place to do just that. I'm your host, Joe Terry.
The South Bay Show, Redondo Beach, More to See, is brought to you by the Redondo Beach Chamber of Commerce and Visitors Bureau. For over 108 years, the Redondo Beach Chamber has played a vital role in helping companies grow their business by taking the lead in programs and efforts that help create a strong local economy and make the community a great place to do business. The Chamber is committed to promoting the community through its aggressive tourism program and by participating in efforts that improve the quality of life in Redondo Beach. In addition, the Chamber represents the interests of business by working year-round to ensure local elected officials and other decision-makers are educated on the impact their actions have on the local economy. Networking programs provide opportunities for members to sell their products and services to peers and make lifelong connections. The Redondo Chamber is also the proud sponsor of signature events in Redondo Beach, such as the Redondo Beach Lobster Festival and Super Bowl Sunday 10K. For additional information on how the Redondo Beach Chamber of Commerce is working with member businesses and the City of Redondo Beach, visit the website at visitredondo.com.
All right, we're back. You can read all about our many adventures on Facebook at facebook.com/The South Bay Show. Persistence, passion, principle, and purpose. That's what we talk about here on The South Bay Show. And of course, I'm not alone because of our great partnership with SouthBayByJackie.com and producer of The South Bay Show, Jackie Balestra. Hey, Jackie, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well this morning, Joe. How are you?
Very, very good. And you know, Jackie, many years ago, about 12 years ago, I was a member of the inaugural session of Leadership Hermosa in 2003, about 12 years ago. And, of course, we were inspired by many leadership programs happening around the South Bay, including Redondo. And I'm so excited that we're going to hear from some people in Leadership Redondo today. Who are our guests today?
Our guests this morning are Steve Goldstein and Charles Salfati from Leadership Redondo's Steering Committee. Returning guest Steve Goldstein founded Payroll Management Solutions in 2004 after having worked for 21 years in management positions with ADP, Paychex, Data Account Corp, and Advanced Data Source. Currently, Payroll Management Solutions serves over 600 clients and processes over 10,000 paychecks per month. Steve is a past board chair of the Redondo Beach Chamber of Commerce and continues as an active member of the chamber, serving on several committees, Government Relations Council, Political Action Committee, Leadership Steering Committee, Local Issues Committee, Lobster Festival, and the Nominating Committee. Steve is also a member of Torrance, Manhattan Beach, and Palos Verdes Chambers of Commerce. As a member of ProVisors, a professional relationship and networking organization, he serves as group leader and has been on the executive committee for the past 7 years. Steve is also a member of the Redondo Beach Roundtable, as well as Assemblyman Al Moritsuchi's Small Business Advisory Council. Among his many hobbies, Steve is a working musician currently playing in two bands, as well as a published author and historian. He has lived in Redondo Beach for 30 years and has been married to his wife, Jennifer, for the past 12, and Jennifer herself is also very committed to the community, having been past chair of the Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce and a former Woman of the Year in that organization. As a new member of Pediatric Therapy Network Community Advisory Board, Steve is honored and thrilled to share his enthusiasm with PTN. Now, Charles Salfati is an independent financial advisor with almost four decades of service to his clients. During the 1999 Christmas break, Charles and his family moved to their new home in Redondo Beach, and shortly thereafter, Charles began exploring avenues by which he could contribute his time and talent in his new city. He strongly believes that service to humanity is the best work in life, a quote taken from the J.C. Creed, where he served as district governor for the South Bay chapters. He also served as a member and past president of the St. James Parish Pastoral Council. It was during a Chamber of Commerce mixer that Charles began a conversation with then Leadership Redondo facilitator Janet Jack Johnson, who talked him into joining the next leadership group. And several months later, Charles answered the call and became part of the 2008 Leadership Redondo class. He then went on to become one of the steering committee members, where to this day, Charles continues to serve. So, Joe, as you mentioned, this morning we're going to learn what the Leadership Redondo Steering Committee is, what they do, and we're going to learn about, you know, the Leadership Redondo classes.
Great.
Steve, Charles, welcome to the program. We're so glad you could join us this morning.
Thank you, guys. Nice
Thank
to be here
you for
again.
Having us.
We're very glad to have you both, and this is such what I love to say inside baseball, but that's what we do here. So many people in the South Bay go about their lives, go about their working lives and their family lives, but they know that there's something going on because there's all this stuff that's going on that people are doing. Whether it's the local sports teams, certainly the local government, there's a lot to be done here in the South Bay. And leadership Hermosa, Leadership Redondo, Leadership Torrance, these committees or these activities people hear about, but I don't think that they all know what they're about. So let's start with you, Steve. Can you just talk about the overarching concept? And then we'll talk about Leadership Redondo in particular.
Sure. Thank you. The leadership program is designed, it started, I think, in 2001, but it's designed to develop the future leaders of our city. We need people who are involved, educated as to who's who and what's what, how things work, what does need to be done in the city. This was developed as a 10-month classroom course. The class meets one day per month. Last Friday, I think it is, of every month, I forget now if it's the first Friday or second Friday, but one Friday a month mm-hmm. for a full day, and about 20 to 25 members of each class. Each class has that many people from all walks of life in the city of Redondo Beach. They could be, there's always somebody from the police department, someone from the fire department, someone from the schools, somebody from the Beach City's health district, somebody from the city, somebody from the chamber, and various business people. And they come together one day a month. Each month there's a different curriculum. Each month there's a different aspect of the city that they tour and learn about. They even go up to downtown LA to council chambers there to meet to see our city supervisor or our county supervisor in action and tour the metro system, things like that. And there's a day devoted to the school system down here. There's a day devoted to Beach City's health district. There's a day devoted to the harbor, water, the power plant, all these different aspects. And at the end of the 10-month period, they have a year or so to work on a class project. They together work on a project that leaves some sort of a legacy to the city, something to improve our you know, the place where we all live and work and love so much. So that's the concept behind Leadership Redondo. I'm sure a lot of the other leadership classes have similar programs. I know Torrance has a similar program, and theirs involves going to Sacramento for a weekend. We do have a weekend retreat the third month of our program in March. The class goes away for a weekend
wow.
to bond and do team building exercises, and they start to discuss ideas for what their project might be. And then, so that's the concept of the class. I was in the class of 2007. Charles was in the class of 2008, yeah. and we each worked on a project. And then eventually, we both got recruited onto the steering committee, which you'll ask us about. In a little bit, I guess.
We are going to talk about what Leadership Redondo is doing today and in the future. Of course, we want to talk about how people can get involved. But Charles, I still want to talk about a little bit about the history. And of course, Charles, I think you had participated in Leadership Torrance many, many years ago. Is that correct?
It's correct. It was probably back in the 1980s, 83, 84, something like that. I was then involved in the JC organization, as Steve mentioned. And I remember having either a weekend or a day of it at some location in Torrance, in which they brought about a whole bunch of city leaders and organizers and involved in the city. And it was just one of those days that stuck in my mind all these years, because it really opened up a great deal of experience to the city and the community. And, it led to, for me, a path to individual development and team development and learn how the dynamics between the city and the political or the government work and how they blend together in order to make things happen.
Mm. It's such an eye opener for most people that are new to city inner workings, fire department, police inner workings, the interplay of the council, the city council, and the planning committees, the various planning committees that advise the city council. It's really a great honor.
As you said at the top of the show, there's a lot going on, and the vast majority of people have no idea how it happens.
Right. Absolutely. So, Steve, we love hearing about the history, but tell us what's going on today with Leadership Redondo.
Well, there's always a current class going, so we have the class of 2015 just wrapped up. October is the last day of curriculum, so we just had the final class for the year, and now they're going to start embarking on their project phase. We are, currently recruiting now for the class of 2016, mm-hmm. which will start in January. The class of 2014, last year's class, just unveiled their class project, phase one of it. It's a two-phase project. The second half will be unveiled on November 7th, but they've done a project dedicated to the founder of the program, John Parsons, a great civic leader here in Redondo Beach who passed away 2 years ago. And so they did the project to honor him by enhancing the children's libraries, both in our main library branch and the north branch of the library. They've greatly improved those rooms. They've put graphics on the walls. They've reupholstered the furniture and put in computers and just made the children's libraries much nicer places for kids to come and read and learn and be interactive. And that's called the Parsons Project for Kids. So that was done in honor of, like I said, the founder of the program, John Parsons.
Wow.
There's a lot going on in Redondo Beach with regard to the development of our waterfront and what's to be done with it and the power plant, what's going to happen when the power plant goes away, how is that going to be developed. And so there's a lot to know about these projects, and there's a lot of misinformation. Very strong voices on both sides of these issues, for and against, as there are in any strong political environment. And that's what I find interesting and exciting about Redondo Beach is the politics gets very passionate here, sometimes to the detriment of neighbors getting along. And it's a good idea to have everybody be as educated as possible about these issues, so when they speak or they talk to people who oppose their viewpoint, they're coming from a place of knowledge, not a place of misinformation. So that's one of our biggest challenges is communicating details of the important issues going on in the city.
Right.
So the people are well-informed. You need a well-informed populace. That's the main thing.
Steve, I know that with regard to the Parsons Project for Kids, and by the way, John Parsons was involved in all aspects of what was going on in the entire South Bay, right?
That's exactly right. Oh, yes.
He was involved in everything, but that project that they're working on, I know Heidi and the crew were furiously painting. They were spending the weekend painting in the library, yeah.
My wife is in that class, and she was also there painting.
That's right. There were a lot of people in that class that we know, yeah.
Yes, yeah.
Wonderful. This is the exciting part, Charles, that people get to contribute, but they also get to learn. So
absolutely.
Tell us a little bit about the learning process. Exactly, what would someone who's new to the entire processes of the city, what would be the agenda for them, like day one, if they were to join Leadership Redondo?
Well, of course, they have to show up and they have to learn, the names of all the other 20 people. They actually literally have to, by the day end, to recognize the names of each and every individual member because they want to form a bond within those 20 or so people that commit to this journey. And so they will be very involved. Kathleen is the facilitator to the first class, and she really makes it. Kathleen Terry. She is very involved and have been doing this now for a number of years, and she really knows how to bring people together, how to form, if you will, a team within the class individuals.
Mm.
And so they hit the ground running, Joe, right from the beginning. There is no rest, if you will. It's a very solid day with a lot of information that gets
right.
shared and right. everybody experience.
Now, as Steve had mentioned, Charles, there's a commitment of one Friday a month during the year of your service?
That's correct. One Friday for 10 months,
yes.
after which then they will begin to take part in a project of their choice, and that usually lasts about 10 months also. So it's really almost a two-year commitment, Joe, and so you can imagine that's a long time, and they pay for it on top of that, the participants do, but it's really a very small prize for a very large prize, if you will.
Well, I'm so glad to hear that, because of course when I took the when I was in the inaugural leadership Promosa class, we not only were doing our training, but we were also doing our project all in the first year. It was a really busy year.
Yeah,
that's a lot to ask of people. I think that's a double commitment at one time. So
yeah. And
well, you know, it's the class too evolves all the time. It's a dynamic class. You know, we live and learn, and so if something doesn't work, we change it. That's part of the steering committee, if you will, is we monitor what's going on and we try to make improvements every year on what is and what is not working.
Right.
That's correct.
Right. Wonderful. And Steve, I have to say, congratulations. You were dangerously close to a famous Thomas Jefferson quote. I don't have the quote exactly, but I think whenever the people are well informed, they can be trusted with their own government. That
yes.
whenever things get so far wrong as to attract their notice, they may be relied on to set them to rights. And so an informed electorate is key, is it not?
Oh, absolutely. So much so. And you really get an up-close view of that in this type of environment, this program.
Yes, absolutely.
Now,
yeah.
now can anyone join?
Yes, literally anybody can join. There's a big recruitment effort going on. You know, about this time of year, every year, we're looking for the next class. And people get referred to us. We talk to past members about who they want to, who they think should go through the program, that we should contact. We have recruiting events. We build them into the monthly mixers of the chamber events to recruit new members and make people aware of the program. So yes, anybody. There's no limit. Anybody who is interested and wants to write that check and spend that time is welcome in the program.
Even if you don't live in Redondo Beach.
Yeah, and they also don't have to be chamber members too. That's a misconception as well.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What's the size of the class when it's fully constituted?
It's about 20 to 24 individuals each year.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And there's always a little turnover at the beginning. You might start out with 25, and by the second or third month, two or three people might have decided, you know, I don't have time for this, or this isn't for me for some reason.
Sure.
So it usually settles at around 20.
Sure. And Steve, what's the check? What's the size of the check that you have to write?
About $700.
Okay.
It's about $695 right now, I think.
Yeah.
Actually, I think we just raised it, Steve. Did you not? $735, I think it was.
Is that the new fee? Yeah, we just went up by all this past year.
Right. Yeah,
it's been $695 for so long, but we did finally raise it, I think,
right.
to $735.
$735.
Okay. All right.
And they can do that in two or three payments if they want, if it's easier.
Sure.
Yeah, no, I think that's very reasonable, considering the access, you know, and being allowed behind the curtain and all the stuff that you're
oh,
getting.
Sure.
Also, in addition to that, I mean, obviously, most of the meals are provided for. Breakfast,
I was going to say, they get breakfast and lunch at every meeting. So.
And it also includes the retreat, which includes one night plus all the food for, you know, for a retreat. So it's a very, very reasonable price for what they get.
Right. This is an exciting prospect for Redondo. Of course, what a momentous time to be involved in the inner workings of Redondo Beach. I mean, there's so many big projects going on, you know, the CenterCal project in the waterfront, and then, of course, AES, as you already mentioned, practically.
And now the Galleria, too. The Galleria is going through changes as well.
Right. I mean, we look at the Galleria and that huge space that Nordstrom's has vacated now that they've moved to a little farther south. It's really, do we know what's going on in the Galleria yet, or is there no?
We're all waiting to find out.
Okay.
Right now, it's a big question mark on that Nordstrom building.
Okay, no plan.
Yeah.
It's still locked up. I was here a couple of days ago shopping and Joe, and it feels eerie to have a big old place like that all gated up and locked up.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's not just the big projects. You know, it's not
True.
Just the big projects. You know, it's pretty much almost. There's a lot of development going on, and as you mentioned earlier, Steve, there are factions for and against. You know, there are people that just don't want change. You know, they don't want anything to change. They don't want new development. You know, and you're right. It can get very contentious.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. All you got to do is read the letters in the newspapers each week and see.
That, you know, that's my favorite part of the paper.
I know. That's where it all comes out. That's where everybody's on their soapbox right there.
Yeah,
change can be scary sometimes. It can be daunting to people who have lived here for 30, 40 years, and they see it, like especially in the waterfront area, Joe. You know, they see it the way it was, and they just can't fathom that it would be something different. You know.
Yeah. Right. You know, I have to say this is an aspect where this leadership program has changed my viewpoint on things because I'm a person who is slow to change. I'm a slow adapter with new technology and new, you know, I'm always someone who's liked the status quo and doesn't like to see a lot of change, but through getting involved in the leadership of this city, I now understand economic development more than I did as a younger person. I'll say that.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, sure, everybody would like, you know, as many green parks as they can have and walk their dogs and have a nice view of the ocean. And nobody, by the way, wants to get rid of a nice view of the ocean. That's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But I think these people don't understand sometimes that economic development is crucial to keeping a city going. And our infrastructure is crumbling right now, and that's what needs to be addressed. So it's about economic development, and it's not about building a quote-unquote mall at the beach. Nobody wants a mall at the beach. No, I mean, nobody on either side, but the opponents to this project, that's what they put forth as the image. This is what you're going to get. You're going to have the Galleria moved right onto the ocean. That's simply not true. So,
well, you know, the other thing to keep in mind, is that if you want those potholes on your street fixed, the money has to come from somewhere.
Exactly.
And instead of taxing the residents, bring in business that will generate income for the city. Because
you want
your power pole, you want your power lines put underground, you want your potholes fixed, you want, you know, more, you know, police, fire, you know, the money has to come from someplace.
Jackie,
exactly,
I just
want
to go back to the point that Steve made about the economic development. As a matter of fact, one of the classes, one of the Fridays, is dedicated to economic development at the leadership organization. So they get a whole day of leaders of the city in development, giving their views on what to anticipate and what kind of development projects are happening in the city. So that too is a very important day in the life of a leadership participant.
Yeah, and it's something, you know, everybody should learn. But I have to make a confession, guys.
Mm.
The reason I'm all for change is because I want restaurants that I can eat at. I want stores that I can shop at. I want places.
Me too.
Yeah, I mean, I love that. I love that. You know, I mean, I want things that are going to improve my life.
Of course, and you don't want to have to drive to El Segundo to eat at a nice new restaurant. That's
right.
What people are doing now.
Right. Yeah, exactly. I think the more you have to offer, you know, your residents, the better.
I agree. And it raises all of our property values. And, you know, this makes it a more attractive place to be. I agree with you 100%, Jackie.
Yeah, yeah.
So many wonderful things going on, so many opportunities for, you know, really exciting stuff. We love, I know both Jackie and I love some parts of Torrance that are actually very old. And Torrance, I'm sorry, but Torrance as well, but I'm talking about El Segundo and Sleepy Hollow District and how that has transformed from a light industrial to almost an artist colony because of all of the unique
creative businesses,
older buildings and older architecture. That's something that I've not heard talked about potentially for the waterfront, is how to create an environment that lots of small businesses can thrive in.
Well, as I understand the SeneCal project, they're going to be appealing more to small businesses. People are wrong when they think it's about bringing in big box stores, and it's not going to be. The actual retail part of it is going to be about 20 to 25% of the development. So it's going to be a lot of entertainment, a lot of views, a lot of nice art projects, things like that. It's going to be a beautiful place to visit, a marketplace and a place where families can enjoy the day strolling and enjoying the views, enjoying the water, and have even more access to the water than they have now. The way the pier is shaped now, the little portion of the beach there is not accessible at all.
But it
has been developed. Fred Bruning, the president of SeneCal, is a South Bay resident, lifelong South Bay resident. He has a great respect for the history. He's trying to build this to reflect the history of the area and fit into the architecture of the area. So it's not going to be out of place in any way. But I agree with you. I grew up in Boston where there's great respect for the history, and the old buildings are still being used and repurposed that were there, you know, in the 1700s.
Right.
And we have areas of that here in Redondo Beach. Riviera Village has a lot of small retail and art-oriented creative businesses.
Right.
Those remain just as they are. And Artesia Boulevard is always going to be a place for different kinds of businesses, small businesses, local mom-and-pop shops. Another project people are working on is trying to rename the portion of Artesia Boulevard that goes from the Galleria west to the ocean. They want to rename it back to Redondo Beach Boulevard, which is what it once was.
Mm.
And so there's people for and against that, believe it or not. But, you know, if you think about it, I've lived here for over 30 years. For me, it's always been Artesia Boulevard. But if you think about it, why should our main street be named after Artesia, which is so far east of us?
Right.
You know? So that's another thing. But we're, any development that's going on is not about knocking down the old and building the new. It's there's a lot of preservation involved too, and I'm a big preservationist myself. I appreciate the history of old buildings. I mean, we have a building on Catalina Ave where surf music was invented, basically. Today it's a kitchen shop, but the building is the same. But there's pictures of the Buffalo Springfield standing in that parking lot. You know, it's I drive by it. I think of that every time I drive by that corner.
I know,
right
exactly
across from the Elks Lodge.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah, there's a couple of the older buildings when it used to be a commercial and area up there. Yeah.
Yes.
But the other thing with regard to the harbor, we don't have like what they have in Sleepy Hollow. You know, it's they're not historic buildings in the harbor. There's nothing down there. You know, the pier is separate. You know, a lot of people confuse that. The pier is the pier. That's separate. We're talking about basically a giant parking lot with a couple of buildings in it.
Yeah, and the parking lot, which, by the way, is crumbling. You know, it's coming down. Literally, it's falling down in pieces.
Yeah.
So it needs to be shored up, and that's going to take hundreds of thousands of dollars. And here's a developer that's willing to do that for us, be our partner in that. And, it's either that or, like you said, Jackie, start taxing all the residents. Who wants to do that?
No, I don't want it. I pay enough taxes. I'll start throwing tea off the boats. Joe, we need to do a station and commercial break.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the South Bay Show, and we're having a great discussion. We're talking about Leadership Redondo with two members of the Leadership Redondo Steering Committee, Steve Goldstein and Charles Salfitti. And this is a very exciting discussion because it's all about home. It's all about the place where we live and how it can be improved, or simply you can engage. Of course, if you have questions or comments, we'd love to have you. Please give us a call at 714-242-5288. That's 714-242-5288. We'd love to have your comment or question. We'll be back right back to the discussion after a word from our sponsor.
This segment of the South Bay Show is brought to you by Your Actualized Visions. A local advertising agency, Your Actualized Visions offers all your advertising needs under one roof. From logo design, business cards, banners, and signage, to online services such as website design, SEO management, promotional videos, reputation management, and loyalty promotions, you name it, and Your Actualized Visions will handle it for you on time and under budget. Built on the needs of their clients, Your Actualized Visions is competitively priced and economical, saving you money and greatly enhancing your bottom line. At Your Actualized Visions, customer service is all local with one point of contact. No more dealing with robo-answering machines, getting the runaround, or speaking to someone in another country. Your Actualized Visions understands your hyper-local advertising needs and focuses on bringing you real clients. They do not buy likes, followers, or fake results. Your campaigns are real, built with real community followers who want to purchase your services and products. The only thing standing in the way of your company's success is you now picking up the phone right now and calling Your Actualized Visions at 310-413-8773. To learn more about what Your Actualized Visions can do for you and your company, visit the website at youractualizedvisions.com. Your Actualized Visions, your dreams today, not someday.
All right, we're back, and
we're going to have one of these days. We need to count how many times I say Your Actualized Visions in that recording.
we're you know, this is such an exciting time. Let's start with you, Charles. When you think about what's going on now and what Leadership Redondo can be, what do you guys talk about in the steering committee about what you'd like to see in the future for Leadership Redondo?
Well, we you know, our objective obviously is just Joyce, is to make sure that the participants have a well worth experience going through this journey of theirs. We want to make sure that each and every participant gets a city and community exposure. We want to make sure that the individuals get individual development using self-assessment programs and self-actualization programs, so that they could not just know what's going on outside of themselves, but really know what makes them tick. And there are classes that are given in that direction to help them understand who they are as well. We also, of course, want them to develop team relationships and understand team dynamics and how that works and how they work with other members and how they get along with different personalities. We want them to take part in a project to find something that they have a passion about in the city of Redondo Beach, and learn how to approach city officials and coordinate with city politics, if you will, and city government. That's all very important. There's two more things that really kind of come to my mind, and one of them is we want them to learn the value of the time management, because it is important that they be there on time, that they finish on time, it's a course in itself, and so they learn that as well. And finally, Joe, we want them to learn about how to budget and how to fundraise, and so those are kind of some of the things that come to mind when it comes to leadership organization.
Right, right.
You know what the best part of this is, Joe? This is why I personally love living in a small town, because I'm from a big city back east, right? Like Steve, unless you are already in the 20%, you don't get an opportunity to have a say in what goes on in your city.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and when you live in a big city, it's very difficult to get the inside scoop the way you would here. You know, by joining,
so true.
Yeah, by joining Leadership Redondo, you can get involved and you can have an impact on the direction that the city that you live in, the direction it's going. You know, it's the old 80%, 20%, right? It always comes back to that, right, Joe?
I wholeheartedly agree with you, Jackie. I mean, you could see from our agendas, Steve and mine are we're totally different. I'm not really as involved as Steve is in the city, and yet for my as little involvement as I am with the city, I feel welcome. And it's nice to have the mayor greet you and say hello. Just because I happen to be on the steering committee of Redondo Beach, the councilman come in and shake my hands. Hello, Charles. How are you?
Hmm.
And you feel like you belong. And as almost removed as I am from the city in one sense, I felt so welcome here last week at the 2014 dedication to John Parsons. And you're there next to the city mayor and you're just having a conversation like a girl friendships, and you're shaking hands with the city councilman. And so the stigma of government being away from you and far away from you, and it stands and you know, there's a whole, if you will, podium and between you and the city, it breaks down, because now you're one-on-one, you're with them, you're conversing. Even if you have a thought in mind and you've never been able to express it in a formal setting, you might want to just kind of nudge the mayor and just say, hey, Steve, I have something on my mind. And it just makes life, so much more closer to the reality between you being a citizen of the city and being effectively a participant in the city as a citizen.
Right. And Steve, we are just at a point now where people can get involved and find out if it would be right for them. Let's give out that contact information. We'll do it a second time, but how can people get more information about Leadership Redondo?
Well, I would start by referring them to the Chamber website, redondobeachchamber.com. I believe it's .com, not .org.
Or Leadership, Visit Redondo.
It's also there. Visit redondo.com, and there's a leadership link.
Right.
And you can read about the program. I believe there's an application there they can fill out, or they can just call the chamber office and ask for an application. 376-6911 is the phone number at the Chamber of Commerce. Keep an eye on the Daily Breeze, the Easy Reader, the Beach Reporter. You'll find ads for recruiting events in there.
Mm-hmm.
There's always a Chamber Talk column in the paper too, so look for Marna's column and his contact information always at the end of that. Visit redondo.com, redondochamber.com, and Charles, is there a leadership website? I don't remember now if we have leadershipredondo.com. There's probably a landing page for leadership.
I think we still do, Steve. I know we go through some changes with that, and sometimes it's up and sometimes it's down, so you just have to take your chance on whether or not it's in.
They can Google it. They can just Google Leadership Redondo and see what comes up. That's what they'll do.
Yeah,
or do it the old-fashioned way. Just pick up your phone and
call.
Call the chamber. And that's
call the chamber.
This is your chance to be one of the 20%, right? Now,
right.
Now let's get into the steering committee. I want to know what they do.
Yeah, we're a secret society. we're
working on a handshake.
exactly. You have to learn the handshake. It's not easy.
Yeah, we're waiting on the handshake. Yeah.
The steering committee meets once a month, just like the class does, and it's usually right after the class. It's right before the class meets. So the week before the class is going to meet that month, we meet and we discuss the agenda for this month's class. First of all, make sure that all the connections have been made, all the things that need to be set up have been set up. Whoever's meeting the class at this location or that location has been contacted and has agreed to do what we've asked them to do. Somebody's providing lunch. Somebody's providing buses if we have to travel somewhere. Just make sure that everybody they're supposed to see that day is on board, has committed to be part of the program that day. So that's one of the things we do. And we have an annual agenda that's month by month, class by class, and sometimes we tweak those a little bit. We think, well, this one, it's not a good day for this one because the city's closed on that particular Friday, so we have to switch this program out with the next month's program, you know, reverse and make sure everybody's on board with that. The people that are expecting to see us in April can maybe see us in May instead, and vice versa. And then we discuss as the class starts to develop their project, they will pick a class leader, and that leader will come and visit with us, the steering committee, to keep us up to date on how the project is moving along. If there's anything we need to know about as far as, you know, what's their budget, what are they doing to raise money, are they working with all the proper agencies? If it involves the city, does it involve permitting? Does it involve, you know, in this case, the last class, 2014, they had to work with the Library Commission. They had to work with the Planning Commission. So they learn to work with different departments in the city depending on what their project calls for. And we help guide them. That's why it's called the steering committee. We steer them toward where they need to go, what they need to do, how to get memos of understanding, which are, you know, we use those instead of contracts. The class can't sign contracts on their own. Anything, any kind of a contract is coming from us, coming from the chamber. So the class has to set up memos of understanding and then bring them to us. And if there's anything we need to agree to, we have to know what that is and whether or not it's something we're going to agree to. So there's some interaction with the class members that way. One or two of their leaders will come to visit us and tell us what's going on, and we'll interact with them, and then they'll carry a message back to the class and say, here's what we need to do. But we don't tell them what to do. We don't, it's more guiding them. We want the class to pick and work on their project with very little limits. What we try to do is keep them realistic. And, you know, when I think back to my own experience in 2007, we were raising money. We didn't know there was such a thing as a steering committee until we came up with a project that had a budget of a couple $100,000, and we didn't realize that was an unreasonable goal. Mm-hmm. And that's when we heard, well, the steering committee is not going to let you fail. And I'm thinking, well, first of all, who's the steering committee? And what do you mean they're not going to let us fail? What does that mean? And then I realized there was such a thing as a steering committee, that they were going to guide us. And, you know, we did end up doing a project for just over $50,000. And at the time, that was more money than had ever been raised by a leadership class. So we did set a new bar there, and it's been broken a couple of times since then. But first, when we came up with a $50,000 project, the steering committee behind the scenes was going nuts, saying, how do they think they're going to raise $50,000? But we did it. So that's kind of what the steering committee does. It's a combination of forming the agenda for each class, keeping an eye on the class and the project, making sure that people are doing what they need to do. But it's behind the scenes. We don't, as a committee, we don't interact with the class members very much, except for the project leaders.
So let me outline it for you, Joe, since I happen to actually have him right in front of me here. It's basically we're in charge of recruitment, curriculum, scheduling, agenda, food, and finance. That's kind of the outline, if you will.
Right. And that's amazing. That really gives, you know, because of course the whole point and the whole concept is that you're bringing people into the system, perhaps that don't understand how it works, and when they think about, oh well, maybe we'll take the wailing wall and we'll move it back 1,000 feet so that it'll be protected. Let's do that. How much will that cost?
And who has to sign off on it?
Right. It's unimaginable.
Yeah.
Something like that. But you know, some people are passionate about that, so that might be an idea. Who knows?
Well, I have a question for you two gentlemen. I understand the concept of committees and, you know, spreading the workout so that it's not all on one or two people, but
yes.
I mean, you both have businesses, you both have families, you both have,
yes.
Where do you find the time?
Well, that's a good question. First of all, going into the program, you're already agreeing to give up one day per month. And, you know, for me personally, that was the hardest thing to do. I'm a business owner, small business owner. And the first day is in January, which in my business, which is the payroll business, January is our busiest month of the entire year. That's when all our new clients are starting and all of our existing clients are looking for their year-end forms and that sort of thing. So the first Friday of January was probably the worst time in the world for me to start taking a day off. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I was fielding phone calls all day during my breaks, and I was in an area down by Crown Plaza where there wasn't much cell phone reception, and it was a very frustrating day for me that first day. But so that's the first thing, is you have to agree to give up a day of your month and be away from your business and your family for one day, you know, basically from 8 to 4 or something like that, one Friday per month.
You know, for me, Jackie, I think the old saying, if you want something done, give it to a busy man. And I think it's because busy people, especially like Steve is way busier than I am. You know, we really learn how to manage our time well, Jackie, and I think that's really the key to, you know, to success, is really learn how to compartmentalize, learn how to prioritize, you know, what is important to you. Sure, family is important, but you know, you take time away from a little bit of this, you take time away a little bit of this, and you know, you manage over time to do the right thing. And I think for me, again, as I said in my bio, it's always been very important to me to, you know, service to humanity is the best work of life. I learned that 40 years ago, and it sticks to mind, and it will forever be imprinted, because it means a lot to me to give back and to be you know, involved.
Well, your family gets
involved in it too, to some degree too, and they take
absolutely
pride in what you're doing.
Absolutely.
And you can drive by a project forever and say, you know, and your kids and your, you know, friends and family, they drive by something and say, you know, he helped do that. This is something he contributed to the community. So there's that.
Yeah. And you know, Steve's out there playing music. He's out there dancing. You know, he's out there doing all this stuff. He must have an extra set of arms or something.
I think he's got 48 hours in our 24-hour daytime is what he's got. Yeah.
He's not telling us something.
I have a couple of clones out there.
Yeah.
Well, it's that time, ladies and gentlemen, it's Bobby Christian time. Bobby, are you with us?
I am. How's everybody doing today?
Hey, Bobby, how are you?
Bobby Christian with the Redondo Beach Chamber and Visitors Bureau will tell us what's going on. What else is going on with the Chamber, Bobby?
Well, we have some ribbon cuttings coming up this week and next week. Today we have a ribbon cutting for Unlimited Fitness at 4 p.m. And then next Thursday, the 29th, Basque Kitchen is finally having its ribbon cutting at 4:30. Tomorrow, there's a get-together at Marcus Medical Spa from 5 to 7. They'll be serving light refreshments, and they'll be doing free consultations. And then we get into our Halloween events for the season, which I'm most excited about. I don't know if you guys know this, but we have over 13 events happening in the South Bay this year throughout October. The two that we have in Redondo coming up are Wednesday on the 28th, so next Wednesday from 5:30 to 7, there's the Halloween Mixer with the Chamber at Veterans Park. It's $5 for members and $20 for non-members. If you'd like to find out more about membership, you can talk to Nancy or Cheryl by calling 310-376-6911. And then we have the annual Riviera Village Halloween Trick-or-Treat on Halloween between 4 and 6 in the Riviera Village. You can find out more about that on rivieravillageredondo.org. Now, there was some discussion earlier about what the address is to contact the Chamber online.
You heard
that. The correct address is redondochamber.org. When you go to that link, it's going to take you to visitredondo.com. You click Chamber, and then if you're looking for the Leadership Redondo page, it's underneath Community. You'll find Leadership Redondo there. If you have any questions, though, the easiest way to get in contact with us, or the easiest way to get your questions answered about the Chamber or membership, is by calling us at 310-376-6911.
Yeah, the phone number I had right, because I have that memorized.
Now I want to know how Bobby knows that there's 13 events in the South Bay for Halloween.
Well, those are just the events we're promoting.
Go ahead, Bobby. You can say it. You were on my website, weren't you?
I was exploring all this.
Update by Jackie.
I stay up late at night reading your website, Jackie.
No, there are a ridiculous number of Halloween events this year. I mean, it's nuts. It's going to be great. And, of course, it's a Saturday night, so woo!
Oh, yeah.
Right. Big time Halloween on a Saturday night. It's going to be big.
Oh, Bobby, speaking of ribbon cuttings, I know that recently, several weeks ago, there was a ribbon cutting for Orlando's Pizzeria.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. I finally ate there Saturday night.
Isn't it great?
Oh, my God.
That was my favorite ribbon cutting. The food was amazing there.
Yeah, the food is absolutely amazing. Yeah. My husband and I went Saturday night. And actually, I just posted today. I just posted a write-up on it today. And wow. Yeah, great food.
Yeah, I wish them all the best. That's a great place. I love going there.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, this is we're talking about Leadership Redondo, Bobby. And, you know, I know the impact that these leadership organizations have on their respective cities, whether it's Hermosa or Torrance or El Segundo. Can you talk a little bit, Bobby, about the impact that Leadership Redondo has on the city and on the chamber through their efforts to bring people into the system?
Well, I'm not directly involved with Leadership Redondo, but I can talk to a little bit about what I've seen. I mainly do tourism marketing, but what I see when we work with the Leadership Redondo is the infrastructure that they build into the city, from the annual projects to the outreach that they do as members of the chamber. They have a huge influence on how the city is viewed by the citizens, and they kind of steer where the city is going to go over the next few years. The projects that they do each year are no small thing. They're enormous undertakings. Like we just had the ribbon cutting in Veterans Park 2 weeks ago for the project, for one of the leadership project classes. And it's these big pieces that are moving in the city that give the structure that we'll be responding to and growing with them for the next few years. So you can't really give enough credit to the people that take this time out of their lives, out of their schedules. Everyone's so busy to set aside time to really concern yourself with being involved in the city and where the city's going. And
right.
So that's what I see more than anything else.
It is a unique aspect of life here in the South Bay. I mean, there are similar types of organizations around the country, but it really has taken hold in a big way in the South Bay, Steve. And it's a beautiful thing to see that these leadership organizations sprouting up and doing the work that they do, bringing new blood, so to speak, into city government and city operations. It's a fabulous thing.
It is, and it's a pathway into that type of thing that people would normally have otherwise.
Right.
How would anyone think to run for city council if they wanted to? When you go through a program like this, you realize, well, this is something I could actually do if I decided I wanted to do it. I know enough people in certain high places now because of this program that if I decided to throw my hat in the ring for something like that, I could probably get away with it. Or join the board of directors at the chamber. I became chairman of the board strictly directly as a result of being in leadership.
And, Joe, to add to that point, there has actually been cooperation between the different leadership organizations, that is to say between Manhattan Beach, Hermosa Beach, and Redondo Beach, to get together on a joint effort, if you will. So, you know, there really is a sense of community here in the South Bay that is very unique.
Yes, that's true.
I can say from my own experience with Leadership Hermosa, it led to, in 2003, the inaugural class led to an appointment to the South Bay Workforce Investment Board from Hermosa.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
And that literally changed my life because subsequently in 2005, August of 2005, Katrina hit the coast of Louisiana, we were dispatched, my company was dispatched to Baker, Louisiana to provide communications and logistics support for a FEMA camp there. And it was all orchestrated through the South Bay WIB, and I would not have been on the South Bay WIB to be, you know, to be a part of the process if I had not been on Leadership Hermosa. And so it all led to, you know, participating in providing sustenance and comfort to well over 2,000 people in that one FEMA camp. So it was amazing.
So it really is a life-changing experience.
Very much so.
And that's how I felt about going through Leadership Redondo as well. It literally changed the course of my life, just that one thing, that one decision to go through that class.
Right. Wow. We are so thankful to have you both. We have a few minutes left. Is there any stone left unturned, Steve?
Yeah, I wanted to say something. You know, we were talking a few minutes ago about preservation, Bobby brought up ribbon cuttings. Just yesterday, last night, there was a ribbon cutting of a new business called the Catalina Room, which is on Catalina, and it's been built in an old historic building. So here they are preserving the building and the architecture of the old Eagles Lodge on Catalina Ave, and now it's a brand new ballroom and a banquet function facility called the Catalina Room. And they didn't destroy a single ember of that building. It's completely built. It was built in 1949, this building, and now a new business is thriving in this 1949 building. And it was very well turned out. But that was, a ribbon cutting, an example of a repurposing of an old historic building that's going to go on into the future as a new business, and the building hasn't been touched, really. So I just wanted to mention that.
They did a beautiful renovation of that building. When I first saw that chain link fence go up, I almost had a heart attack. I thought I was going to tear it down.
Yeah, like, me too. I thought, what a beautiful building. What a beautiful Art Deco building. And wouldn't it be a shame if that was torn down? But it wasn't. It's been preserved completely.
They did a beautiful job of it. That's a wonderful, wonderful building.
And the Veterans Library is another example of an old historic building that's been repurposed and is used a lot. The Halloween mixer that Bobby was referring to will take place in that Veterans Library, which is built in the 30s, I believe. So.
Right. What I love most about the Veterans Library is when there's a wedding there.
My goodness. I attended one there.
You attended a wedding there?
It was beautiful. It was absolutely one of the best weddings I ever attended. The sunset there was just unmatched.
The views are spectacular.
Amazing.
So, Charles, I want to ask you the same. Is there anything that you would say about Leadership Redondo that we have not said yet?
Absolutely, Joe. I mean, to me, and I think you mentioned it, and it's been said, but it's worth repeating. If you're looking for a life-changing experience in your life, just come and join Leadership Redondo.
Right. It will lead to that. There's so many opportunities that will open up for you if you want to walk through the door.
Right.
All right. Let's give out that contact information one more time.
Steve?
376-6911.
Excellent. Visit redondo.com.
Yes.
Call the Chamber of Commerce.
Right. Call.
RedondoChamber.org is the website. And then go and look under community. Visit Redondo and go to the community.
And you are right now recruiting for the next leadership class, correct?
That's true.
In January 2016.
All right. So if people want to get involved, you got time. You can be part of the 20%. You can be part of the 20%.
Exactly.
Now they've done the changeover so that when you go to redondochamber.org, it actually forwards to visit redondo.com.
Perfect.
Yeah. So there you go. They've done that changeover now.
Well, Joe, I want to thank you very much for giving us the opportunity here to present our leadership organization to the radio and online. And again, thank you so very much, Jackie, also for your involvement. Appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Charles.
Our pleasure.
Yes, our pleasure. And Steve Goldstein, thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, my pleasure. It's always fun to talk to you guys. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
It has been, and ladies and gentlemen, this is just the beginning. If you are in Redondo and you think you might want to get involved, call the chamber, get involved, find out what it's about, and we look forward to seeing what the next Leadership Redondo class decides is their project. It's going to be spectacular, I'm sure. Thank you, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow for South Bay Spotlight. And, of course, thank you, Jackie.
Always a pleasure, Joe.
We'll see you soon. Bye-bye.